Today we are at the final daf of Masechet Menachos. As in many Masechtos, at the very end of the Masechta, the Gemara sort of slides off of the rigor of halachic analysis and into the softer terrain of stories and lessons, what we call agadita, that which is related, that which is very easily accessible with lessons. Very, very apparent. So we learned in the Mishnah, Daf Kuftes, discussed the topic of the unfortunate sanctuary of Onias, Beis Chonyo. Chonyo was one of the sons of Shimon HaTzadik, the great Kohen Gadol, Shimon HaTzadik. Unclear exactly what it was that precipitated the breach. Two opinions, either it was that he was the younger brother or he was the older brother, one way or the other. He ran away from the land of Israel, went to Alexandria, and set up an alternate Beis HaMikdash, fully constructed with a Mizbeach, and was offering sacrifices there. And the Mishnah said that Kohanim, who had chosen to do service in Beis Chonyo, were now disqualified for the rest of their lives, even after they did tshuva, from ever doing service again in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a fine based on a pasuk in Yechezkel that the prophet describes and decries priests that are serving other gods, not being exclusively loyal to Hashem. They were the source of michshol and avon, stumbling block and sin, and therefore they can never again do service in the Beis HaMikdash. So I understand we got up to there at the first wide line. Ein tzarich lomar davar acher. Right? First wide line of Kuftes Amud Beis.
Alexandria and Egypt.
Correct. They went to Alexandria and Egypt. So the Mishnah said, a priest who did service in Beis Chonyo in Onias' temple is disqualified from ever doing service again in the Beis HaMikdash. If this is true in Onias' temple, where there are those who thought that he was L'Shem Shamayim, that he was not worshipping idols down there, he was worshipping God, just albeit in the wrong way, in the wrong place. And if Kohen did service there, he gets disqualified. So certainly a Kohen who does service for Avodah Zarah gets disqualified and can never do service again. So the Gemara says, Midakamer, from the fact that the Mishnah says, Ein tzarich lomar davar acher, I don't even need to tell you that a Kohen who does service for the other thing, namely for idolatry, can't do service in the Beis HaMikdash. Michlal, that's implying the Beis Chonyo, Lav Avodah Kochavimu, that Beis Chonyo, Onias' temple, was not a place of idolatry. So Gemara says, in fact, there was a dispute. Tanya, this, we learned in a Braisa. Kemad Amar, like the opinion, Beis Chonyo, Lav Avodah Kochavimu. So our Mishnah is like that opinion that says, Beis Chonyo was not a place of idolatry. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. What was the story of Beis Chonyo? So two opinions. Opinion number one. Osa Shana Shemei Shimon HaTzadik, the year that the high priest Shimon HaTzadik, we know he was a great high priest. We speak about him in the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. We learned about him in Masechet Yuma. He was the high priest who went out to greet Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great said, oh, I used to see you in my dreams whenever I'd be successful. Shimon HaTzadik, the year he was dying, Amalahan, he said to everyone, Shana Zuhu Meis, this year he's dying. In other words, talking about himself in the third person. He said, this year I am dying. He didn't want to say the words, I am dying. It's not a good thing to say negative words, certainly about oneself. So he said in the third person, and this year he is dying. How did he know? Amulo, they said to me, Nayanati Yodea, how do you know that you're dying this year? Amulhani explained to them, Kol Yom HaKippurim, every Yom Kippur, Nizdamin Lizakin Echad Lavush Levanim. On Yom Kippur, that's the day that the Kohen Gadol goes into the Holiest of Holies. He said, every year on Yom Kippur, I would have with me an elderly man, clothed fully in white, V'nisatif Levanim, who had covered his head in white. He was wearing a fully white garment. V'nichnasimi, he'd come in with me. V'yatsimi, and he would exit the Holiest of Holies with me. And that was a sign. It's a sign that there were good things. White is a sign of forgiveness. The verse says, if your sins will be as red as scarlet, they'll turn as white as snow. So you hear this old man, the sage, all in white, coming with the high priest, in and out, is a sign that the high priest is going to go in and go out. Everything is forgiven. But Shanazu, this year, said Shimon HaTzadik, Nizdamin Lizakin Echad, again, there was an old man with me, but love was Shchorim. He was dressed in black. V'nis'atev Shchorim, and he had covered his head with a hoodie, with a cloak that was black. V'nichnas imi, he came in with me. V'lo yatsa imi, when I went out, he wasn't there. So that means that that's it. It's mourning, it's death, I'm going to die this year. And that's what happened right away. L'achar regel, right after Sukkos. Sukkos is 5 days after Yom Kippur. So we're talking about 12 days after Yom Kippur. Chala, he got sick. Shivas yamim, for 7 days. He was sick for 7 days. Umeis, and then he died. Okay, so now he had died. So once he died, everybody was in mourning. We made changes. V'nimnu echav ha-kohanim levarech b'shem. Until the days of Shimon HaTzadik's death, whenever Birchas Kohanim would be recited in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to express it with the ineffable full name of God, Shem Meforash. They used to say the full expression, the Gemara says in the Kedushin, the 42 letters that really are part of the name of God. And those 42 letters are only handed over to someone who's righteous, with beautiful character traits. So they used to say the full name of God, the full 42 letters, the full 42 letters, the full explanation of the name of God, Shem Meforash. But now they stopped. After Shimon HaTzadik died, they stopped expressing the name. And B'shas P'tirasa, when he was dying, Amar Lehem, he gave a will. Who should take over? He said, Chonyo b'ni yishamish tachtai. My son Chonyo, my son Onias, he should be the Kohen Gadol after me. So what happened? Version number one. Niskane bo Shimi Echav, Achiv. Shimi was the brother of Chonyo. In Josephus, he's called Jason. Jason was the brother of Chonyo, was the brother of Onias, and he was jealous. Oh, Onias is going to be the Kohen Gadol. Because he, Shimi, was 2.5 years older than Chonyo. And we know the Rambam tells us that whenever there is a position of greatness, Srara, it could be the rabbi of a city, the Chazan HaKnesses, the president of the community. So that position gets inherited if he has children worthy of it. So the children, even if they're not as great as their father, but as long as they're worthy, they can inherit it. And like all other inheritance, so the first one is the firstborn. Firstborn gets the first right. So Shimi was upset. I'm the firstborn. I should have become Kohen Gadol after my father. Shimon HaTzadik. Why is it that Chonyo is becoming Kohen Gadol? So Niskani bo Shimi Achiv, Shaya Gadol Menu Shtei Shanu Mechza. He was jealous. He was 2.5 years older. So what did he do? He set him up. Amar lo, he said to his brother Chonyo, Boval amentcha seder avoda. Let me teach you the secrets of how to do the service. It's a very strange gemara. When Chonyo didn't know how to do the service. He was the son of his father. His father was Kohen Gadol for so many decades. He never saw his father do it. I don't know. It's a strange thing. He said, I'm going to teach you how to do it. And what did he do? He put him in women's clothing. Yubisho b'unkali. He put on his brother... Unkali is a some garment of a woman, some woman's robe, the chagro betziltzul, and he put on the woman's belt.
Sash.
Yeah, ribbon.
They say a ribbon. Okay, here it's translated as a belt. That's what Rabbeinu Gershom said, like some type of a belt that women wear. All right, or a sash. And he stood him up like this next to the Mizbeach. So now after he had set up his brother to look like such a fool, he said, listen, to the brothers, the other Kohanim, this brother of mine is doing a terrible thing. The Torah says, Lo yilbash gever sim las isha. A man is not allowed to wear the garments of a woman. A woman is not allowed to wear the garments of a man. And here my brother, as Kohen Gadol, his first day, is wearing his wife's clothing. So what a terrible thing. So he said, Ru ma nadar zeh. Look at this guy, this brother of mine. He must have made some promise to his wife because of, whatever, his attraction to his wife. He said, I'll show you how loyal I am to you, how much I love you, that the day I become Kohen Gadol, I'll wear your clothing in public. Right. And that's what he did. And here he's wearing her clothing in public. So look at this. Look at what this guy promised and fulfilled to his wife, to his beloved. He must have said, Oswayom Shishtamish Pekuna Gedula, that day that I'm going to start doing the service of the Kohen Gadol, Elbosh, I'm going to get dressed, Bunkli Shalichi, in your cloak, the Echkor Betziltzul Shalichi, I'm going to wear your sash. And look, he did it. He promised he would do it and he did it. To show how loyal he is to her, how much he loves you, he'll do the craziest things for her. And here he does the craziest things for her. So you see, he doesn't respect the service. So what happened? The other Kohanim were so incensed. Bikshu echva konim lahargo. The other brothers, the other Kohanim tried to kill him. There was a mob. They were incensed. He's just desecrating the holy. Vehela alav. So ratz mipneim. He ran away. He ran away from them. Now there was a whole mob after him to kill him. So Chonyo ran away. Poor Chonyo. He didn't know. He had all been set up. He didn't understand anything. So ratzu achrav. They chased him. Halach Alexandria shel Mitzrayim. So he went to Alexandria in Egypt. Uvana sham mizbeach. He built there an altar. And according to this opinion, he was so angry with the religious Jews, he became an idolater. He started offering sacrifices to Avodah Zarah in Alexandria.
That's why we don't have Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, the hatred of brothers. That's true. Kishishamu chacham b'davar. When the sages heard about this, they said, Ma zesh lo yarad la kach. So look at this. Chonyo, he wasn't looking for the position. He wasn't looking for the position. And nevertheless, Shimi, look at this. Before he got the position, he was so jealous of his brother. Hayored la. Once Shimi gets the position, Alachas kama v'kama, if we try to remove him from the position, you know what type of a war he's going to set off? Look at the war he sets off when he didn't get the position, trying to get the position. If we try to fight with him to take him out, you know what a war he'll set off? And that's why they left him in the position. That's Rabbi Meir's version of what happened and how he ended up with Beis Chonyo. We ended up with Beis Chonyo because Shimi was jealous of Chonyo, his older brother, getting the position. And therefore Shimi framed Chonyo as disrespecting the position. And then Chonyo ran away and Shimi took over. Why do we let the cheaters to prosper? There's a limit to how much we can do. You know, we saw what this guy did to get the position. Now that he had the position, to pick a fight with him was too much. So therefore we let him stay with it. And that's why Beis Chonyo ended up as a house of Avodah Zarah, according to Rabbi Meir. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, lo kacha yamaisa, that wasn't the story. Ela lo kibel olav Chonyo. Really, you're right. Shimon HaTzadik had said that Chonyo should be Kohen Gadol. But Chonyo had willfully given away the position. Because Shimi, his brother, was 2.5 years older. So he said, let Shimi, my brother, get it. He's the older brother. And Afal Pekin, and even though Chonyo had given away the position, after he gave it away, Niskani bo Chonyo b'Shimi Achiv. Chonyo, after he gave it away, was jealous. Why did I do that? Oh, I want it. He was jealous about Shimi. Amar lo, he said to Shimi, Chonyo told Shimi, said, come, you're about to do the service. Let me teach you how to do the service when you start. He dressed him in a woman's garment. And he dressed him in a woman's sash. And he put him next to the Mizbeach. And Chonyo was the one who was framing Shimi. He told his brother in the other Kohanim room, another Zevakim Lauvaso, look what this guy promised to his wife and he fulfilled. Why is he doing this terrible thing? Wearing women's clothing on the day that he's supposed to serve. Must be he made such a promise to his wife. I'm so loving to you, I'll even wear women's clothing. And here he's doing it. That day that I'm going to be doing the service of the Kohen Gadol, I'm going to wear your robe. I'm going to gird myself in your sash. So again, according to this version, it was Chonyo inciting the Kohanim against Shimi. So the Kohanim wanted to kill Shimi. But according to this version, Sachlem Kolam Ora. Shimi said, what are you coming after me? It's not my fault. You think I'm insulting the Kohuna? I'm wearing women's clothing because that's what Chonyo, my brother, told me to wear. Oh, then Bikshu Laharogas Chonyo. Then the Kohanim turned around. They wanted to kill Chonyo. Ratz Mipneim. And now Chonyo ran away. Ratzu Achrav, and they ran after him. Ratz Leves HaMelech. He ran to the king's palace. That time the Romans were already in Israel. Ratzu Achrav, they ran after him. Kalaro Oso, anyone who would see him, Omer Zehu. Zehu, this is the guy who caused this whole mess. So Halach Alexandria Shom Mitzrayim. So Chonyo left, he went down to Alexandria in Egypt. Uvana Shom Mizbeach, and he built there an altar. V'halalav. Now, according to Yehuda, Chonya was offering sacrifices l'shem shamayim for the sake of God. Shenemar, as the verse says, Hayom ahu yiyem mizbeach l'Hashem. On that day, there will be an altar for God. B'soch eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. Matzeva itzel gvula, and a monument by its border, l'Hashem, for God. So this verse in Isaiah is predicting this story of Chonyo building an altar for God in Egypt. When the sages heard about this, they said, so look at Kavod, a guy who's running away from prestige and honor. Even after he runs away, really has such a hard time, he wants it. So when you have people who are looking for it, oh my gosh, boy, do they want it. Alachas kama v'kama, certainly do they want it. So here we learn some lessons about power and kavod and how people like power and honor. Tanya, we were taught in a brayso Rabbi Yishuv ben Prachya. Rabbi Yishuv ben Prachya used to say, Batchila initially, kala omer li aleila. Any person who would tell me, you go up and you become the leader, you become the president. And he kofed over nosno lefnei ha'ari. I'd get so angry at him. You want me to have honor? Don't you know how horrible honor is to be the leader, to be in charge, to make the decisions? I would take that person, and in my anger, I'd tie him in front of a hungry lion. Let the lion eat him. Chutzpah, he's pushing me up to such a position. It's God, right? He's so angry to have the honor. But now that I became the leader, the opposite. Kol omer li leirid mimena. Anyone who tells me to leave the job, I'm going to take a boiling pot, boiling kettle of hot water and pour it on him. How dare you tell me to leave the job? I love this job. Once I have it, I'm going to leave it? Oh no. I'll pour on him boiling water. That's human nature. They don't like it. Even the biggest tzaddikim, they run away from honor. Once they get the honor, ooh, they don't want to leave it.
Rabbi, where was the Sanhedrin? I thought they had to say to this yeah. Father, where were they?
Apparently, this was part of the breakdown of the society. Well, or even if he did, the kids didn't listen. Sometimes you can't succeed with the kids. Sharei Shol, now an example of this, of running away from honor, but once he has the honor, he doesn't want to lose it, is the first king, Shol, Baruch Mimena. Shol runs away from honor. When Shmuel wants to anoint him, Shol runs away. He hides. Nechbal HaKelim. He's hiding by the vessels. But once he became king, and then he suspects he's going to lose the position, that David's going to take his place. David, he tries to kill David. That's the way it is with honor. Even those who run away from honor, once they get it, ooh, they love it. They don't want to lose it. They're so angry about losing it. Amar Lei, Mark Shisha, brother of Chizda Abaye. Mark Shisha, the son of Rav Chizda, said to Abaye, Rebbe Meir, who holds that Chonyo built an altar for Avodah Zarah, High Kodesh Rebbe Yehuda, my Avid Lei, what does it do with this pasuk in Yeshaya, that there's going to be an altar for Hashem in Egypt? The answer is the Kedatanya, it's for the following. We learned about it in a Braisa. L'acham ha'palasa shel Sancherev. After Sancherev fell, Sancherev had placed a siege around Jerusalem. And in one night, an angel came and killed 180,000 soldiers, and Sancherev himself was the only one who escaped. So Yatzah Chizkiah, U'matzah b'nei Malachim, Shayosh Mekona shel Zab. So Chizkiah went out to the camp of Sancherev, and he found in the camp of Sancherev five princes sitting in golden chariots. So what did he do? He didn't kill them. He made them take a vow never to worship idols anymore. Shanam, as the verse says, in that day, those five cities, the cities of those five princes, Beretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt, Midabros Fas Kanan, they're going to be speaking the language of the people of Canaan, the people of the land of Israel, v'nishbos l'Hashem tzvakos, and swearing to God, the Lord of all hosts, and not to idolatry. So these five kingdoms, these five princes, Hochul Alexandria Shemitzrayim, they went to Alexandria, Uvanam Mizbeach, and they built an altar there for Hashem, v'helu olav l'shem shamayim, they offered any karbanos for Hashem, Shanam, as it says, v'yomu yiyem Mizbeach l'Hashem, v'socher etz Mitzrayim, and that day there will be an altar for Hashem in the land of Egypt, and a matzev and a monument on the border for Hashem, and that's a reference not to Chonyo's Mizbeach, but to the Mizbeach in the times of the first temple, in the times of King Chizkiyahu, with the five princes from Sancherev's army. The verse says, also over there, Bayom Ahu Yiyu, and that day there will be five cities in the land of Egypt, speaking in the land, speaking the speech of the Jews of Israel. And the end of that verse is, Ir haheres yomer la'achas. A city of destruction will be said to one of those cities. My Ir haheres yomer la'achas. What does it mean? A city of destruction will be said to one of those cities. Kedem etagim Rav Yosef. That's explained the way Rav Yosef explains it. It's a reference to Beit Shemesh. Karta the Beit Shemesh, the city of Beit Shemesh, the Asa L'michrav, is destined to be destroyed. It's Amar Dihi Chadminon. It's being said in this prophecy, it's one of those cities, it's going to be destroyed. Mimai De'ira Heres, listen to Shimshu. How do we know that the word Heres sounds like Shemesh, Beit Shemesh? Because the verse says in Eov, Ha'omer Lacheres, V'lo Yizrach, he can tell Heres and it won't shine. In other words, he can tell the sun and it won't shine. So you see that Cheres is a reference to the sun. So therefore, Ir HaHeres is really Ir HaCheres. Ir HaCheres, in other words, of saying Ir HaShemesh, it's a reference to Beit Shemesh. Okay, another thing that we have here about people of outside of Israel, it says in Yeshaya, that Hashem tells the various winds, Hevi'i banai merachok, bring my sons from a distance, uvnosai, and my daughters mikzei ha'aretz, from the edge of the earth. Hevi'i banai merachok, bring my sons from a distance. Amar Rav Huna explained, Elu galios shel Bavel. That's a reference to the Jews who are in exile in Iraq, in Bavel. Shedatam yusheves aleihem kivanim. That they have good intelligence, like sons, they're settled. In other words, Bavel was a very tolerant place, they lived in peace. So people who live in peace, they're not harried, they're not frustrated. They can see things clearly, understand things clearly. So bring them. And then the next verse says, Uvnosai mikzei aretz, and my daughters from the edges of the earth, Elu galios shel shara ratzos, that's a reference to the exiles and other lands where Jews are persecuted. Shein datam yusheves aleihen, they are unable to have settled intelligence, and therefore they are kibanos, they are like the girls, who are more harried and more scattered, and less able to be settled, as are the banim in this verse. Another verse, Amrav Abba, Amrav Yitzchak, Amrav Chizda, Rav Abba said the name of Rav Yitzchak, some say the name of Rav Chizda, Amilo Amrav Yehuda Marav, some say it was Rav Yehuda, said the name of Rav. The nations of the world, Mitzor, from the city Tyre, Va'ad Kartigni, until Kartigni, is that Carthage?
Yeah.
Until Carthage, all the way in the east. Makirines Yisrael, they recognize the Jews of how great they are, and they don't afflict the Jews so much. It's a reference to, Carthage was in North Africa. It's saying that the Sephardic world, in the Middle East, from Tyre and Lebanon all the way to North Africa, places like Morocco, etc., they recognize the Jews, they admire the Jews, and they respect the Jews, right, Carthage, right, so quite a distance from Tyre to Carthage, and they recognize the fact that the Jews, and they also respect the father of the Jews. In other words, they believe in God, they don't believe in Avodah Zarah. However, Mitzor Klapi Marav, but from Tyre to the west, umi Kartigni klapi Mizrach, and from Carthage to the east, a makirnes Yisrael, they don't recognize the Jews, lo safiyan shabbat shemaim, nor do they worship one God, and they worship Avodah Zarah. Es Rav Simi Barchia l'Rav, Rav Simi Barchia challenged Rav. The verse says in Malachi, mi Mizrach shemesh anavo'o, from the place where the sun rises to where the sun sets, in other words, from the east to the west, the whole world. Gadol Shmi Bagoyim, my name is great amongst the nations. Ubachal Makom, and in every place, Muktar, offerings of Ktoret, Umugash the Shmi, and Karbanos are offered to my name. Umincha Tahora, and pure Menachos, so the whole world recognizes God. So Amila, so Rav answered to Rav Simi, Simiat, are you Simi? Are you really a smart person to ask such a question? To Karule Elohad Elohaya, all over the world, They worship other gods, and they say that God is the God over their gods. They don't recognize the exclusivity of one God. Okay, going back to that verse, B'chol makom, in every place, Muktar and Mugash l'shmi. B'chol makom salka daitach, is that true in every place? Are they offering karbanos to Hashem? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Rav Yonasan, Elu Tamid Chacham Moskim Batorah B'chol Makom. What this means is that in every place you have people learning Torah, like us, we've been learning Zvachim and Menachos now for almost half a year, almost a full year we've been learning Zvachim and Menachos, right? 110 blad in Zvachim, 110 blad in Menachos, almost a year, 220 days. So whenever we're learning about these Karbanos, Hashem says, through our learning about Zvachim, through our learning about Menachos, it's as if we offered a Zevach and a Mincha to Hashem's name. The verse says there are mincha tahora, and a pure mincha is offered. Zalome Torah v'tahara. This is through a person who's learning Torah and purity. No seisha. He first gets married. V'achakach lome Torah, and then he learns Torah in a pure state. His learning of Torah of a mincha is as if he offered a karban mincha. Another verse. Shir amalos hinei baruchu es Hashem kol avdei Hashem. A verse in Tehillim, a song of ascents. Behold, they bless God. Kol avdei Hashem, all the servants of God. Omnim veis Hashem balelos, who stand in the house of God at night. My balelos, what do I mean during the nights? Am Rabbi Yochanan elu tamid chacham. Again, it's a reference to the Torah scholars. Ha'oskim ba'Torah balayla. They're busy learning Torah at night. And ma'al alein ha'kasav, the verse considers them. Omnim veis Hashem, standing in the Beis HaMikdash. Kilu asukim ba'avoda, it's as if they were doing the service of offering the menachos and the zvachim in the Beis HaMikdash in the house of Hashem. Another pasuk says in Divrei Hayam in regards to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Lo'olam zo sal Yisrael. This is forever over the Jewish people. So what does it mean? The Beis HaMikdash didn't stand forever. How can you say that the building of the Beis HaMikdash is Lo'olam is forever? So Amrav Gidol Amarav Zemizbeach Banui. That's a reference to the building of the Beis HaMikdash in heaven. When Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash on earth, Hashem made a corresponding Beis HaMikdash in heaven, Michael Sarah Gadol, and that Beis HaMikdash is never destroyed. The angel Michael is the Kohen Gadol. He's Omer Umakival of Karban. He's the one who's offering Karbanos of the Neshamos of Tzadikim on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash in heaven. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, what does it mean that the Beis HaMikdash is forever? Elu Tamid HaChachamim, that's a reference to the Torah scholars, Ha'asukim Milchus Avoda, that even though we lose the Beis HaMikdash, Torah scholars are busy learning the laws of how to do the service. And Malelena Kasa, the verse considers it, Kilu Nivna Mikdash B'Yameyam, as if the Mikdash was built in their days, and they actually did the service in the Beis HaMikdash through learning about the service. Amrei Shlakish Shlakish said, My Dechtiv, what's the meaning of the verse? Zosa Torah, this is the law, La'ola La Mincha V'Lachatz V'La'asham, for the Ola and the Minchas and the Chattas and the Asham. That's to tell you the Kalosik B'Torah, anyone who's busy with the Torah. Av Ola Mincha Chattas and Asham, Kilu Hikiv Ola Mincha Chattas V'Asham. Amar Rava, Rava said, if so, Hai La'ola La Mincha, why does it say La'ola La Mincha? It should have said, Ola U'Mincha Miboyle. Ela Amar Rava, Rava explained, Kalosik B'Torah and Tzarech, Lo Ola V'Lo Mincha V'Lo Asham. It's saying, if you're learning Torah, Lo Ola, you don't need an Ola, you don't need a Mincha, you don't need an Asham. The Torah itself is equal to all of that. Amr Reb Yitzchak said, "My Dixi, what's the meaning of the verse before it tells us about the Chatas? Zos Torah Sachatas. This is the Torah of the Chatas. And then it says, Zos Torah Sa'asham. This is the Torah of the Asham. It's to tell you, Kol Osik B'Torah Chatas. Anyone who's busy learning about Chatos, Kilu Hikav Chatas. It's as if he brought a Chatas. Kol Osik B'Torah Sa'asham. Anyone busy with the Torah, the laws of the Asham, Kilu Hikav Asham. It's as if he brought an Asham. And now the final Mishnah. Namar Bolas Behema. It says about an ola of a big animal. Let's say a guy who offers a whole cow as an ola. The whole thing is burned. It's ishe. It becomes fire. Reach nichoach laHashem. It produces a nice smell to Hashem. Ubola sa'of. The person is only offering an ola of a little bird. It also says ishe. It becomes fire. Reach nichoach and produces a nice smell. And if he's only offering a mincha, some fine flour with a little bit of oil. It also says, Ishe, some of it goes into the fire, and it becomes Reach Nichoach, a nice smell. So why always describing everything as Ishe Reach Nichoach? Lo Melachat to tell you. Echad Amarbe, whether a person does a lot. Echad Amamit, or whether he does a little, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. One person gives a carbon worth $500. Somebody else gives a carbon worth $20. It doesn't matter. What does matter is how sincere he is. If he's sincere, if he's trying to serve God, he's doing it for God's sake, then it gives God a nice smell. The mincha can give God a nice smell just as much as the ola of a behema gadola gives God a nice smell. Amar Reb Zera said, Maikra, what's the pasuk? that teaches us that the most important thing is the motivation, the sincerity, not so much the physical act. It could be a bigger act, a smaller act, but the motivation is what matters. It's in the following verse, Mesuka Shnasa Oved, sweet is the sleep of one who serves, Ima'at V'im Harbe Yochal, whether little or a lot is what he eats. In other words, someone who does the karbanos, so whether he has a lot to eat from the karban or he has a little to eat from the karban, it doesn't matter. He can still have a sweet sleep because he knows he had kavana l'shem shamayim. He was trying to do it for God's sake. He was sincere, and that's what matters. Rav Ada bar Ahava Amar Mehacha. This is the verse. Birvos hatova rabu ochleha. When there's a lot of good, in other words, a big karban, so a lot of people to eat from it. Uma kishra leva aleha. And what gain is there to her owners? Kiyam ros einav, only what his eyes see. In other words, God doesn't care whether there's a lot of people eating or less people eating. What God cares is the sincerity that God sees in a person's heart. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Am Reb Shimon ben Azai. Reb Shimon ben Azai said, Borei maksiv parshas karbanos. See what it says in the verses about all the sacrifices. Shelo ne'amar bahen lo ale. It doesn't say that carbon is offered to kale, nor velo elokim. Also that carbon is offered to elokim. Ela l'Hashem. Only ishe rech nechoach l'Hashem. Only to yudke vavke. Shelo litein pischon pele baldin lachlok. The reason for this is that God doesn't want any heretics to say that there are multiple deities, that there's Elohim, there's E, and there's J. Chas v'shalom, there's only one God. All karbanos are offered only to Hashem, to the one master of everything, the creator of all. Okay, another lesson that Rabbi Shimon ben Azai taught. V'nemar b'shor agas ishe reach nichoach. It says about a thick ox that's offered as a karban. It becomes fire, it creates a nice smell. Ubofadak, and with a thin bird, it says, Ishe, Reach Nichoach, it becomes fire, it creates a nice smell. Uvemincha, and it says in regards to the Karban Mincha, Ishe, Reach Nichoach, it becomes fire and creates a nice smell. Lo Melucha, to tell you the lesson of our Mishnah, Echra Marbe, whether someone does a lot and brings a big Karban, Vechra Mamet, or someone does a little. It doesn't matter. As long as he has intentions for the sake of God, and he does as much as he can. Everybody does the most that they can do. That's what's most appreciated. That's what's most significant. And that's what is most special. The Shema Tomer, and maybe you'll say differently, and you'll say no. God wants to eat, so he'd rather have bigger, more food than less food. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says in Tehillim. Im Erav, if I'm hungry, lo amar lecha, I'm not going to tell you, go bring me food. Ki li tevel imloa, the whole universe, whatever it's in it, it belongs to me. V'namar, the verse says, ki li kol chai yar, all the wild animals of the forest belong to me. Behemos bare aleph, and the domesticated animals shepherding on thousands of mountains, they're all mine. Yadati kol of harim, I know all the birds that grow on the mountains. V'ziz sadai madi, and that which crawls in the fields also belongs to me. I know it, and I recognize it. I don't need your karbanos. Ha'ochel b'sar abirim. Am I going to eat the animals? Am I going to eat the flesh of strong animals that you bring before me? V'dam atudim eshte. Am I going to be drinking the blood of the goats that you're throwing to me? I don't need it. Lo amarti aleichem zivchu kidei shetomar ese ritzono. I didn't tell you to offer karbanos so that you'll say, okay, let me do his will because he needs it. And then he'll therefore do what I want, right? I'll do what he wants. He'll do what I want. That's not what's going on. Lo l'ritzoni atem zovchim. It's not for my will that you're offering. Not that I need it. El l'ritzonchem. It's only that you need it. Atem zovchim. You need to offer a karban. Not that I need it, but you need it. You need it. You need to do a service to get a kapara. Shenamar, as it says, l'ritzonchem, tis b'chuhu. For your sake, for your will, you should offer it. Davar Acher, another explanation. L'ritzonchem, tis b'chuhu. For your needs, for your will, you should offer it. L'ritzonchem zivchu, meaning l'datem zivchu. Offer a karban willingly. And don't just do it, you know, going through the motions. Put your intention into it. Put your intentionality into it. Yes, have the kavana. Kedibay minei Shmuel Rav Huna. As Shmuel had asked of Rav Huna, minay lemesasik bekatshim. Shehu pasul. How do you know that if somebody is involved with a carbon, he was trying to do something else? He was trying to cut a piece of meat and he ends up slaughtering a carbon. How do you know that didn't work? Shenamar, because the verse says, Vishachat es ben abakar. He is to slaughter the ben abakar. Shetei shchita l'shem ben abakar. That the slaughtering should be for the carbon and not just through going through the motions. Okay, so Bezos Hashem, after davening, we'll have the siyum. Just a word of introduction for Meseches Chulin. The very word chulin means non-sacred items. So it's a unique mesechta. It's a very long mesechta, very, very, very practical mesechta. We're in the middle of all the mesechtos dealing with karbanos. We had Tzvachim and Menachos. We're going to get to Erechin and Me'ila and Tzmura. In the middle of all these tractates dealing with the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, we sort of take a break. What about the animals that are not holy? How do you make such an animal kosher? What is the nature of shechita? What's the nature of slaughter? How's the slaughter done the right way? The laws of when you're not allowed to do slaughter. You're not allowed to slaughter the child if you've already slaughtered the mother that same day. The laws of what parts of the animal can be eaten, what parts can't be eaten. Gid anasheh, the sciatic nerve that cannot be eaten. The laws of mixing milk and meat. The laws in general of mixtures and nullifying mixtures. So all of that is coming up in Maseches Chulin, Bezus Hashem Yisbarach, that we merit to start tomorrow.